This is Amended in Action. I'm Michael Rickey. This series profiles the work of people who are challenging injustice, illuminating truth, and raising women's voices. Today's story brings us to downtown Ithaca, the Commons to be specific. It's an overcast but comfortable March day for a stroll through this pedestrian-only business district. It's lined with shops and restaurants. And as I turn the corner here, there it is, I see my reason for this visit. The History Center of Tompkins County. It holds centuries of materials that help tell the story of this region's rich past. Trouble is, like a lot of history museums, some people's stories are lacking, even missing entirely from their collection. Today, we're going to meet three women on staff here at the History Center, though, who are trying to change that. They're actively seeking to unearth and include the overlooked stories of decades past, but they're also making decisions today that will enrich this museum's ability to tell a full and inclusive story in the future. I've made it to the main entrance. The facade is all glass. I see my host waiting for me inside. Her name is Zoe Van Estrand, and she's the History Center's Marketing and Visitor Experience Coordinator. But I get the sense she wears a lot more hats than that. So let's go inside, let's meet her, and start with a look around. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right.
That's Zoe. She takes me to a towering exhibit in the museum's lobby.
First, I want to show you this exhibit we have. This is a temporary exhibit called the Sisters of Change. It's recognizing the late Dorothy Cotton, who passed away in 2018.
Museum staff actually call this display, and a few others like it, an exhibit tower. It's about 12 feet tall, glass on all four sides. From top to bottom, I see photographs, a golden dress, and old letters filling the space. Looking up or down, left or right, there's something to see, something to learn about Dr. Dorothy Cotton.
She lived in Ithaca from the 1980s until her death in 2018. And she's really an underknown civil rights hero, despite having received numerous accolades, being highly recognized within the community, but her name isn't as well known.
The late Dr. Cotton served as the National Director of Education for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in the 1960s and became one of Dr. Martin Luther King's closest colleagues. A position at Cornell University brought Dr. Cotton to Ithaca in the 1980s, where an institute bearing her name exists today, in the same building as the History Center. As Zoe and I make our way into the main exhibit hall, she reminds me this is a new building, at least for the museum. The History Center moved in back in summer 2019. The space was once a bank. Zoe points out a couple remnants of the building's past, old vaults with their thick, shiny metal doors still intact.
And so when you're exploring different exhibits, you get to walk through the original bank vault doors and then go into our different exhibit spaces that we call Passage Through Time and the Story Vault. And so you're actually getting to engage with a little architectural history as you're also learning about local history.
As we wind our way through the space, Zoe shows me the exhibit for Women's History Month and one of the women it features, Wealthia Marsh. Marsh was the president of the First National Bank of Groton and one of the first female bank presidents in the United States.
She was a true powerhouse of a woman, and it was covered in newspapers across the country that if you received a check that was notarized by a W.M. Marsh, that it was actually a woman signing her name. And it was considered very groundbreaking for the time in the 1890s, height of the Victorian era, decades before white women had the vote.
The exhibits telling the stories of Dr. Cotton and Wealthia Marsh feature an abundance of artifacts, evidence of their places in a particular moment for visitors to see, for researchers to analyze. But Zoe knows some stories in the museum's collection are incomplete or missing altogether. Decades earlier, materials that made their way into the History Center's collections represented only a fraction of the county's population. The mementos primarily celebrated the work of white, often elite, men. For years, this museum and countless others like it have been working to fill the gaps. They're also taking steps to make sure future collections that tell the story of today represent a wider range of lived experiences. when my time with Zoe on the tour expires.
That was my alarm saying that I have to run up for a meeting.
No worries.
So I'm going to take you into the library so that you can talk with Donna.
I climb a couple steps into the History Center's research library, which overlooks the exhibit floor. It's here I meet Donna Eschenbrenner, Director of Archives and Research Services. Donna leads me out of the main library and into a space where she clearly shines, the archives room. Rolling, stackable shelves consume most of the space. She clears off a table against the wall, and we each take a seat on opposite ends. We're both wearing masks and sitting 6 feet apart. It's museum protocol, obviously, but Donna reminds me it also reflects a moment that will be part of history.
This is unusual for people. They don't think of history as happening now, in the moment. They think of history as something old.
For a year now, Donna's been trying to change that way of thinking.
And what we're trying to do with this process, we're trying to educate people as much as possible to understand, okay, what's happening in your life today, what you're experiencing right now, this is history. And we want you to document it. Give us photographs, diaries, blogs, videos, things that you're doing, ways that you're coping. Tell us all about these things, because we're going to put this all together, and this is going to be the first chapter of the history of 2020 in Tompkins County. Most of the time when you think of an archival collection, you think about something that documents the past, old photographs, old diaries, something like that. Very discreet. It had a beginning and an end point. But now what we're doing by documenting things like the COVID pandemic is we're documenting history in real time. And it's not just the History Center, it's repositories all over the world.
As an archivist, Donna spends a lot of time digging through the museum's collections. She knows how disappointing it can be when a major event is barely a blip in her files.
I have one small collection in our archives that documents the history of the 1918 influenza epidemic. I've had a lot of requests for that collection. It was an important time period. It was World War I era. A number of people died. It was absolutely horrific worldwide. It's a very important thing, and I can't tell the story that much. The difference between that and this is going to be earth-shattering.
Donna has an advantage over her predecessors. She has access to technology, and so do many people outside the walls of the museum. Finding and collecting media, documents, and artifacts from a wide range of people is simply easier in the digital age.
We can reach out to people in their homes, where they are, on every level, in ways that a simple ad in a newspaper or, no offense, but, you know, a blurb on a radio show wouldn't have done. Everybody's plugged in. They reach for their phone. They are plugged into social media all the time. The Facebook page, the Twitter page, you know, the other facets of social media. So we use that to reach out. And what we're finding is a very broad range of donors, especially with the BLM. I'm seeing many younger donors reaching out to me.
In fact, Donna is already filling up her third box of artifacts from the Black Lives Matter rallies held last summer in Ithaca. She makes physical copies of any item she can for preservation's sake. The rest live digitally.
We have videos of some of the speeches. We have videos of some of the performances. We have a very moving video that made me weep of young women performing dances to the sounds of Nina Simone's Strange Fruit song, which is just, it gives you chills. It's so moving. These are things that are all in digital format, and so they're fairly accessible to people. They can come here to look at them. Some of these things are things that we can share digitally. I can send them to people.
When Donna sifts through many of the museum's collections, she often notices the most vulnerable voices missing, the populations most impacted by an event overlooked.
That's absolutely true. One of the things that we're focusing on as much as possible is children, kids, underrepresented, you know, underreported, usually unseen, but they're the ones who are among the most heavily impacted by this pandemic. Their lives were entirely upended because schools closed. I'm hoping that my successors, 100 years from now, look back and say, okay, they found what they needed to do. They got on it fast. They got what they needed to get. and they documented all of this. They gave us all this material.
Material that will inform future generations about the events we're experiencing today. But that's not to say Donna has abandoned her mission to uncover the untold stories of yesterday.
These kinds of things build on each other. And we think that the more that we have, the more we will get. And little by little, we will enhance these critically important holdings for these underrepresented communities.
I thank Donna for her time, and I make my way back to the library. I take a seat at one of the wooden reading tables. Cindy Shalander-Cantu joins me.
Well, I'm acting curator here at the History Center, so my job is to essentially develop exhibits.
The History Center is clearly intended for adults and children. So I asked Cindy if she's loved history since childhood.
I have not.
She explains.
Growing up as a kid, you know, I grew up in South Texas, and, you know, we had, you know, we learned the Star Spangled Banner, you know, we did all this kind of stuff, but we learned, you know, how the town developed, but there were never, like, it wasn't deep level history. And if I think of, I would have been told the stories, the struggles, because I was struggling with myself as identifying as a Mexican woman living in a border town. I think if I would have connected some ways, maybe I would have been more fascinated with it.
As she grew older, Cindy says her interest in history emerged, especially as she tried to uncover stories that were glanced over in textbooks.
It almost became like an onion where I just kept peeling back the layers, and I would go into these rabbit holes of history, and then it became detective work. And still to this day, when people come in, they ask a question, and I tell myself, I don't know that, you know? So, and then I'm just fascinated, so I want to learn more.
Today, she's part of a team at the History Center that works to develop exhibits that connect with every visitor by telling more inclusive stories of the region's past.
We're trying to, you know, have a Haudenosaunee presence here and, try to find ways to connect with underrepresented people, you know, and try to make relationships with communities that we haven't been able to reach.
The History Center's next exhibit will be a test of those efforts. Breaking Barriers, Women's Lives and Livelihoods opens in July. The exhibit will showcase how generations of women made a living in Tompkins County, from salt mines to beauty parlors. Breaking Barriers will also explore the history of women's social clubs and the vital role they played in giving women a place to build community and advocate for equal rights. The exhibit has been a work in progress for months.
We were all working on remote for a very long time, so now we're here in the space, and we were excited to kind of be back in our office and, you know, finally have the opportunity to get into the archives or into our collections and just kind of find the pieces that are going to be included into this exhibit.
As plans for the exhibit come together piece by piece, Cindy can't help but think of her daughter.
I have a four-and-a-half-year-old, and I want her to just feel empowered, you know. These women were superheroes.
My next stop is the History Center's conference room, where I rejoin Zoe Van Ostrand, the History Center's marketing and visitor experience coordinator.
While Cindy, our curator, and Donna, our archivist, have been working a lot behind the scenes to diversify our collections, I then get to do the targeted outreach to community groups to be like, hey, we just made this exhibit on local Sisters of Change. We would love for you guys to see it. Would you be interested in us presenting it to you?
Zoe's job is to diversify the museum's audience, to get new faces in the door. Easier said than done in a pandemic. So Zoe ramped up a plan to make the museum more accessible from anywhere. She created the museum's YouTube channel, redesigned its website, revived the History Center's presence on Twitter and Instagram, and managed to add 1,000 new followers to the History Center's Facebook page in 7 months.
And so it's been this kind of consistent, steady growth of, you know, showing that these platforms can be ways to really engage people with what we have and make more of the community and the wider community see the way that Tompkins County history connects with their lives and with the projects they're doing in the community.
Zoe couldn't wait to tell me about the History Center's latest grant. It's from the Institute of Museums and Library Services, and it will give Zoe the resources she needs to get the museum's collection of recorded interviews online.
In the last 10 years, one of the ways we've been trying to diversify our collections, in addition to our physical, you know, item and paper collections, we've been trying to record histories from living community members that represent stories that aren't as shown in our current collections. And so with the grant, we're going to make them available for free on multiple platforms so that community educators can use them, have accompanying curriculum guides and videos and ways to engage.
Engage. It's one word that best describes Zoe's mission, welcoming guests as diverse as Tompkins County itself, hoping they find a part of their story represented at the History Center, whether on a screen or on the exhibit floor.
My dream is a merge of community center and history center, of feeling like we are a space for the community that also preserves and shares its history so that, you know, 50 years from now, when there's a grandchild or a great-grandchild that wants to research what happened with COVID-19 in 2020 in Tompkins County, we have those collections. When they want to know what the Black Lives Matter protests looked like in downtown Ithaca, right outside our museum doors over the summer of 2020, we had weekly protests just outside, that we have those recordings, we have those memories, and that we can offer them to future researchers who want to understand what our lives were like today and also build on our collections so that they can better understand the lives of people 100 and 150 years ago.
Thanks for listening to Amended in Action. Special thanks to WRVO Public Media, Humanities New York, and SUNY Oswego's School of Communication, Media, and the Arts. Music provided by Feslian Studios. Until next time, I'm Michael Rickey.